We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the show. Neil, how's it going this week, man?
It's going pretty well. Started summer school, and It's, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, are you learning a lot?
You know, ironically, yes.
There you go.
And the person that learned the most this year was you, Neil. You learned the greatest lesson of all.
Basically, like, for the past 2 years, I've been arguing that everybody should have access to a platform that's only used by specific students who are in a special program, except when they don't, because some of my coworkers don't like to follow the rules, and it makes it harder for everybody.
Yeah.
And the school just keeps saying, no, we're not going to give you access because it costs money per user, which has been frustrating, but... We get access to it for summer school, so it's been cool to just see how this program works.
Oh, good.
Like Tesla Waters.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's cool. Well, aside from the movie that we're going to be talking about, have you been playing any games or watching anything good?
Let's see. So, I repicked up Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous because I realized I had three separate CRPGs on my hard drive, and I was like, I should try to finish some of these. They're taking up a lot of space. And that was the one I had the most progress in.
That's like Pathfinder's like D&D, right?
Yeah.
Right, okay. And is that similar? Do you know what Pillars of Eternity is?
I've heard of it. I haven't played any of it.
Okay, it's CRPG by Obsidian, the guys who did like Fallout New Vegas. It's supposed to be really good. I bought it and then got 10 minutes into it, and like, there's just so much reading. You guys know how I am.
I get it, man.
Sam, I can't imagine you enjoying any CRPG, sadly.
That's funny.
There's not a 300 hit combo meter in this game. Seems like it's kind of for babies. I don't know. Okay. Gideon, how's it going this week, man?
It's going good, man. I'm super stoked to talk about this movie. I've been getting back into Jedi Survivor because the library got the hookup on that. So it's so funny because it's like I crave the family video. Like the family video in town is now a Dollar General, and every time I go in, I just want to scream. it's funny. So it's like I can rent this game or like PS5 games or Switch games or whatever. And if nobody else like puts a hold on it, I get it for 2 weeks and it's free.
Nice.
So it's just like funny, like thinking back on, I'd have like 5 days to like binge this game.
Yeah.
And we paid, you know, whatever it was, $10 for
an exorbitant amount of money.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
how far are you in Jedi Survivor? You got the blaster, you said.
I got the blaster, dude, right before this. I just got the crossblade.
Okay. Sick.
So super stoked about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I like the crossblade. I think I mainlined the blaster as soon as I got it.
It's sweet.
The rest of the game, yeah.
Dude, and the flourishes with the animation when you put it away and like spin the gun and stuff.
That's pretty sweet. I still think that game has a problem with like motivating you to do side activities because the rewards aren't very good. But I will say, being able to customize your blaster, pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was unexpected, honestly.
Yeah. Well, it to me, it's very unexpected that you get a blaster at all. It just seems so, like, I don't want to say Sith coded, but it just seems so like a Jedi wouldn't do this. And then Cal's like, yeah, I'll do it.
I believe the quote is so uncivilized.
Yeah.
Yes. For real.
I do think it is weird. We already talked about this a little bit. Like the very Sith coded force powers you can use in that game. Like, it's not like Jedi Academy, right? Where you can say like, oh, I want to go down the dark side so I get the force lightning. Like that's acceptable. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I feel that a force pull into a stab is a very Sith-coded move that Jedi should not be able to do.
And the way he stabs him, too, he's just, it's like he runs him through. He's like, fuck you. Like, tosses him aside like trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a good time with that game. It gets much better as it goes, I will say. Like, it just keeps getting better. In my opinion, it started off really slow, and I did not give two shits about that game. And then it at about, like, the 70% mark, it really takes off into an interesting direction.
Nice. Hell yeah, dude. I'm excited to keep playing and see where their story goes. And I love
it. Yeah, don't look up spoilers. I had one very pivotal thing spoiled for me, and it was...
I feel like I saw minor spoilers like a couple of years ago or like months, but I've like forgotten all of this. I think I'm in the clear.
Neil, I told Gideon something horrible that happened to me in Dota last night. Do you want to hear it?
Oh, this is awesome.
Go for it. I have a question for you guys.
Yes. Well, go ahead and shoot with your question first. It's probably Star Wars related, right?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Okay. So there is a event going on right now where you win a certain number of matches and then you get to roll for cosmetics. And the fun thing about these cosmetics is they can be from any time in Dota's history. So it's like old skin sets that aren't available anymore. But more importantly, you have the chance of rolling for Arcanas, which are like $35 skins with like the crazy effects. They only do like one Arcana a year during the international, right? It's like a big deal. There's only like 10 characters that have them. So you click, you re-roll, and you have like a certain number of these tokens. And I clicked, and I had there was an Arcana on the screen I could have like gotten, and then I like accidentally clicked the button again because I like wasn't paying enough attention. So I skipped out on the chance to like get a $35 skin last night, and it just killed me.
Dude, that was so painful.
I screamed at my computer desk like Furiosa in Fury Road. I was like,
"Yeah, Sam, I'm sorry. I think you need to, you know, break it off with Grace, shave your head, go become a Buddhist monk.
Yeah, throw all the computer stuff in the trash. It's over, man.
So yeah, that's basically been my my week, and I started at my new job, so that was pretty cool too.
Nice.
Yeah, not a lot to report on that front yet. Okay, so we are here to kind of have go ahead.
Okay, so I want your guys' opinion on this one.
Yeah.
So imagine, you know, you're a nurse and it's the end of the month, so you only have $10 left in your bank account at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you gonna get the most value for your $10? A Chinese restaurant or a Mexican restaurant?
I'd say probably Mexican.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know any Chinese restaurant where I can get an entree for $10.
Yeah. I would have to get like soup or something.
Neil, are you down to your last $10? Do you need help?
No.
Okay.
That's really good.
But Sam, I'm going to need to talk to you at the end of the episode.
Why a nurse specifically?
There was like a TikTok trend a couple like years ago now where it was like nurses showing their bank balances at the end of the month.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And like, apparently they're either not making enough or they're all really bad at managing their money.
Dude, my brother sent me a screen cap of like his bank balance in his checking account, and it was down to like $2.17, and the last five transactions were like, you know, not enough from the gas station for it to be gas. It was like candy from the gas station, and then it was like all sports betting.
Oh my god. That's funny.
It's like liquor store, sports bets, gas station candy, more sports bets. It was like the most degenerate thing ever. Okay. So we're here to talk about Furiosa, which we all saw in the theater in the last week and a half. I was lucky enough to go see it at Alamo Drafthouse, and it was excellent as a theater going experience. Did any of us see Fury Road in the theater?
No.
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 Damn.
One of my biggest life regrets, honestly. But by the time I had heard that it was so awesome, it was already gone, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, same.
But I think we all subsequently saw Fury Road and really enjoyed it. I mean, would anybody argue that it is one of the best action movies, not only of the last decade, but probably one of the best action movies ever?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. so badass. And it's hard to think of other movies that do action in a similar way, other than obviously something like Furiosa or whatever.
Yeah.
His own stuff.
Now here's a deeper question. Have either of you seen the previous Mad Max movies?
I think my friend loaned me like a DVD 3-pack and I watched them all in like a weekend or two. Mm-hmm. But it was like over 10 years ago. I barely remember any of them.
Okay, so Neil?
Yeah, I watched the original Mad Max back in high school. Okay. And then on my way back from Germany last summer, the flight had the back of the seat screen, and it had every Mad Max movie. So I watched Road Warrior, Beyond Thunderdome, Fury Road, and with the Anya Taylor-Joy connection, The Menu.
There
and The
go.
Prestige.
Nice.
But
The Prestige. Shout out to The Prestige.
Oh, and The Iron Giant. It was a long flight. Oh,
damn. Yeah, that is a long flight.
I wouldn't be able to watch The Iron Giant on a flight. They'd be like, are you okay? And I'd be like crying my eyes out.
Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Don't perceive me right now.
Oh, man. Okay, so as I understand it, and now you'll be able to fill us in on this, the original Mad Max is very different from everything that came after, right? Like, Mad Max as we know it really started with Road Warrior, correct?
Yeah. So the original Mad Max takes place, like, society hasn't totally collapsed yet. Mm-hmm. It's like right on the brink. There are still motorcycle gangs, people are getting murdered, and yeah, it's awful. And the police force is also like super corrupt, like they're almost like a rival gang.
Okay.
Which is totally unlike anything that's, you know, in the real world. like there's still like some semblance of order. Max is married with children. They go on vacation. It's like there's still like running water and electricity and all that kind of stuff. And then sometime between there and Road Warrior, things just went straight to hell.
Okay. But when I watched the trailer for the original Mad Max, I was almost like, did I pick the wrong, like outside of it being Mel Gibson, I almost felt like I had picked the wrong movie. I mean, it seems almost stylistically completely different from everything that came after.
Yeah, it's very different. Like, I mean, you know, it's still car chases, fireballs, but obviously like much lower budget.
Yeah.
Not quite as crazy. Like Road Warriors, where like you can almost skip the original Mad Max and understand everything that's going on in Road Warrior. You should still watch the original. I think it's like still a good movie, but Road Warrior is definitely like the like iconic Mad Max movie as far as like setting the tone.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's hop into talking about Furiosa then. So Gideon, you saw this the most recently. You saw it two nights
yesterday.
Ago? Yesterday.
That's my
okay.
Last
night. So you're still pretty fresh on it. Give us your kind of high level impressions and high level thoughts, man.
Dude, this might have been one of the best movie theater going experiences I've had in years, maybe the whole decade so far. It was so awesome. And so it was just me, Alyssa, and two elderly couples that joined me. Like, there's like this older white guy that was like maybe like in his 70s. I was like, this is gonna be so kick-ass with them. And then this elderly like Asian couple, and it was awesome, dude. And so they were like way up in the front, we were all the way in the back, and it was just so loud like the whole time. Like, I think Alyssa said she like laughed and, or something, said something, and she was worried like they would have heard us. I was like, I couldn't hear you. I was sitting right next to you. Like, I had a great time. I'm super excited to get into this.
I'm sure compared to, you know, like one of my things I want to talk about with this movie is like how long it is. And, but I'm sure compared to Dune 2, it seemed totally normal.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I don't know the exact runtime on this, but I know Dune 2 is like 2 hours, 45 minutes. I think this is like two and a half.
Yeah, 2.5. Yeah.
A so it's like, within 15 minutes of each other, 20 minutes.
Yeah. So, okay. And Neil, you saw it in the theater, and how many people were in there? And tell me what kind of candy you got.
I was, in line with Mad Max being a rebel without a cause in a lot of ways. You know, I snuck a patch of Sour Patch Kids in, tucked into my belt. Nice. And
there you go.
But I did get a large root beer.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And I think it was me and maybe like six other people. And Gideon, I think at least four of them were like older couples.
Right? Like, I thought that was so funny. Like, I wasn't sure. I don't know about for you, but like the theater was kind of packed like in the parking lot. So I was expecting a lot more, but yeah.
I went at a weird time. I had like a day of PTO that was not going to renew for next year.
Okay.
And we're not allowed to use it for summer. So I just like took that Tuesday off and I went to like the 12 o'clock matinee.
There you go. That's awesome.
Same as I did with Star Wars, basically.
Nice.
See, you know, I don't think that it says anything about Mad Max that you guys are seeing old couples. I just think old couples are the only people actually going to the movie theater. Like, and if there was anything, any movie worth seeing in the theater, it's you know, Furiosa or Fury Road, you know. That was our experience. We went, and it was opening weekend, I believe, but it was at Alamo Drafthouse, and it was in their big theater, so it wasn't like a standard size screen. And as you described, it was loud as shit, and everybody in there was having a great time. I kind of hit this popcorn, peanut M&M, Coca-Cola kind of like bliss state toward the middle of the movie. I was just like floating beside myself and watching the parachute guys on the car chase scene blow shit up. And I just had a fantastic time. It was a good stand-in, and it was a good make-good for not seeing Fury Road in the theater.
Way more than I thought it would be. I was like, there's got to be something wrong with this movie. I was like, why is it bombing, allegedly, right now? I don't know if it's doing better since I had read stuff about that. I would hope it is. And the way I heard people talk about the intro, I was almost expecting the first, like, 40, 45 minutes to be, like, a slog or, like, I wouldn't like it. And I really liked it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I was just way more impressed by this movie than I thought going into it. I thought it was going to be just kind of whatever. And I was super impressed, honestly.
Yeah, me too. How about you, Neil?
Yeah, I'm very glad that I decided to go and see it.
Same.
I do agree. Like, I think, like, time-wise, I was, like, about to start checking my watch at the end. Like, it's a little long, but overall, but like, I don't know what I would have cut, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that fun little chestnut, because everything felt useful to the movie, and it was just so well crafted. And like, so I want to compare for a second George Miller to somebody like Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
So like Steven Spielberg, I think we can all agree, great director. He's made a lot of like some of the best movies ever.
Yeah.
But we've also sort of talked about how like some of his like attempts to get into something like deep. So like what the one with Tom Cruise,
Minority Report. Yeah.
Like that one didn't work and he was the wrong director for that project. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the content's a little bit darker than what he usually gets into, a little more, at least source material wise, a little more like highbrow than what he typically gets into, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, George Miller, not the same like volume of work, but does George Miller have any limitations? Because this is the same man. So like he's got the whole Mad Max franchise, and then he's got Babe and Happy Feet.
Happy Feet too. Hell yeah!
Like which are, you know, like children's movies, but like still like great.
Yeah. And so, Babe, isn't that considered a classic too?
Yeah.
I love Babe.
Nice, thank you.
And Babe 2, Pig in the City.
But yeah, Babe was actually nominated for like 7 Academy Awards.
Damn. I haven't seen it personally.
That was like a real, you know, a movie with some cojones on it for sure.
Some heart.
And I have not seen Happy Feet, but Grace listens to the Happy Feet soundtrack in the shower on a weekly basis. So,
dude,
I hear a lot of the Happy Feet soundtrack. he's got. You're right. He has range, and he's almost 80, and is killing it with this movie. I mean, he's directing movies that are way more exciting than people, you know, less four times younger than him. So he's absolutely killing it. Yeah, I had a really, really good time at this movie. Like I said, you know, it was loud and the action scenes were incredible. We can get into it. I think that I don't think it's quite as good as Fury Road, although I'm willing to hear the argument that, like, I think Red Letter Media said this and I agree with them. It's kind of like Kill Bill Volume 1 and Volume 2, almost exactly, like where Volume 1 has all the crazy action and Volume 2 is like more of the character study. Fury Road is Kill Bill Volume 1 and Furiosa is Kill Bill Volume 2. And if you watch it like Furiosa and then leading into Fury Road, you can count Fury Road as like the greatest ending action scene of all time because it's just one big chase scene, basically, right? If you think about it like that, I think that you could make the perfect you could make the argument that it's all kind of one thing and that's great and it works really well together. I think Furiosa is a little too long compared to Fury Road. And again, before I get into this, it's like a 9 and a 10. I mean, or an 8 and a 10. I think they're both great. Right. Mm. I think Furiosa as a character herself is not that interesting.
Mm.
And that is sometimes okay in a movie. Because, like, Max isn't interesting at all. Right? In Fury Road, like, who gives a shit, right, about the actual character Max? But that movie is, like, less about the characters. Furiosa is much more about the characters than I feel like that core character is just not very interesting to me. Chris Hemsworth in this movie is way more interesting than Furiosa. I want a movie about that guy. He stole the show.
I think I saw something where Anya Taylor-Joy only had like so I think the character Furiosa, because they go from her like being like 8 years old to mid-20s. But Anya Taylor-Joy herself only had like 50 lines of dialogue in the whole movie. And a lot of them are like one-liners.
Yeah.
And like, you know, so really she's just there to like stare at the screen, like almost break the fourth wall, staring at you, the audience. And that's all I really needed from her in this movie. Like, I know like the menu, she has a much more in-depth engagement to the script. So I know she can act, but I think for this, like, she took on the role of Max where she is like the audience's view into the craziness of the world where she's like at least semi sane and like knows that this isn't the way things should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fair take on the character. I think The ending of this movie, like the last 5 minutes, I actually really like, but the conclusion of the story, as it were, like of her arc, I really didn't like the final chase scene and then like her monologuing at Chris Hemsworth for the last few minutes. It felt a little talky to me for a Mad Max movie, and I kind of wanted it to be like, I was a little let down that there wasn't the big final action sequence in the way that I thought there was going to be. Like, they were kind of building to that. It, like, the beginning was like kind of subtle. The middle has that amazing action sequence where the with the flyer dudes, like the parachute dudes. And I thought the ending was going to do like even one better, right? And then that moment never really came, and that was a little disappointing to me. Outside of that, though, I virtually had zero problems. I don't know if you guys felt equally deflated by that ending.
No, I think that was actually really well done. Like we said, I think Chris Hemsworth as Dementis is like the real star of the show. But I think that ending is actually very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you might not get it because you have, like, I'm going to be pretentious here. You might not get it because you haven't seen the original Mad Max.
Okay.
But the first thing that really struck me about them, or once Dementis, like, so let me rewind. At the beginning, Dementis takes on a semi-fatherly figure to Furiosa. Like, he gives her the teddy bear, he calls her Little D, and he mentions that, like, the teddy bear belonged to his kids before things went to shit. And I was like, oh, this guy is Max. If Max had, like, completely broken. Because in the first movie, Max is married and has a daughter, and over the course of the movie, they're both killed. And that leads to Max becoming the road warrior, wandering in sort of, like, he's not the paragon of justice. Like, again, a lot of times he's just there trying to serve his own needs. But, you know, like, sort of like you can make there, because he was a cop before the fall of the world, you know, he's not out to be evil. He might be self-serving at times, but he's not a bad guy compared to the rest of the world, at least. Whereas Dementis, I think, has probably like a very similar backstory, and he just went off the deep end. And I think that the ending of him like sort of breaking it down, I thought Hemsworth just really killed it in that sort of like torture interrogation scene with Furiosa. Just like, you know, like the whole movie's built to you getting your revenge on me, but it's not going to solve any of your problems. You know, might make you feel good for a minute.
Right. But, yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting point. I mean, yeah, I'd be interested to kind of go back to it with the context of what happens in the previous Mad Max movies and kind of how that plays into everything. Yeah, he has so many great lines. I think my favorite line in the entire movie is from Chris Hemsworth, where it's that last action scene and she's driving the V8 toward all of them. And they're like, what the hell is that? And he's like, something extremely competent and exceptionally revengeful or something like that. It just, that really cracked me up. Gideon, how'd you feel kind of toward that last end? Do you think the ending was kind of talky, or how'd you feel?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the movie is like so unrelenting in its vision and putting you in the world and everything that's happening and all the audio. By the end, I was almost feeling like a bit exhausted. Mm-hmm. And I also like forgot my water bottle at work, so I was like dehydrated. So it was kind of fitting for the movie. But so with the end, I didn't think it was bad or anything. I didn't really have any issues with it, and I liked that, you know, after everything she had gone through, she was still able to get back to him and have that conversation. But I honestly feel like I'm kind of forgetting some story moments, and maybe I'd want to rewatch it again before I speak too much further on it, I guess.
Okay, interesting. Favorite action bits, what do we feel? I mean, this is an action movie through and through. What's everybody's favorite kind of more action-y scene?
I mean, anything with the war rig, especially when the isn't like falling into some kind of sand pit or where there's like excavators and they use those excavator arms to like try and save it from falling in. Like, that was sick.
What did they call the whirly thing on the back with the morning stars?
It was like the something knockers, right? Like,
it was an Australianism.
Yeah, it was extremely Australian. You're right about that. That whole action scene where it was like the first time they'd taken the war rig out. Also, the first guy who drives that war rig, I mean, this is not an original thought by any means, but looks exactly like Solid Snake. Neil, did you get that at all?
Yeah, I can see it.
Praetorian, whatever his name is. That guy was totally awesome. Loved seeing like the brand new war rig it was still shiny and brand new and everything. Hey, flashback to the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me if you guys read it this way at all, because so she gets with as a kid, she's like a prisoner of Chris Hemsworth's motorcycle gang. They're driving across the desert and then they come up to the Citadel. I thought for sure, before obviously I was corrected within like the next 3 minutes, I thought this was going to be the story of them being the people who founded the community that existed in the Citadel. Like, I thought these people were going to become, like, I thought he was going to become Immortan Joe.
Oh, really?
Okay. Like, I thought they were, like, going to run across the desert and then find this place and then settle it. And that was kind of the origin story of this society.
Mm. Yeah, that was, I think that might have actually been, though, my favorite action sequence. Like, A, just, like, that square off. So, like, one thing I really like about Dementis is that, like, a lot of times he acts like an idiot. And in that particular situation, I think he underestimated his opponent because he's used to getting his way. Because even though he acts like an idiot, I think most of the time he is the smartest man in the room. And he's used to that. And so even like when he's acting stupid, it's because he's like trying to put people at ease and he's like five steps ahead, which I think is sort of shown when he's like, so he establishes himself in Gastown and then he takes over the bullet farm and all of a sudden he arguably has an advantage over the Citadel.
Mm-hmm.
But in that scene, just like A, seeing the power dynamic of like, he's got a gang. Immortan Joe has an army of like people who actually follow orders and are willing to die for him. Mm-hmm. So getting that first witness me moment was great.
Oh, yeah.
But then all of like the lifter cables coming out of nowhere and like hauling bikes with people on them into the air to be salvaged later was just like, almost like horror movie-esque or like Pirates of the Caribbean when they're fighting the Kraken, just like
this is like reaching down and grabbing all everything. Yeah, sick. A lot of good lore and world building here. Fury Road is really good at like the action scenes and the minute to minute, like kind of like the pacing of it. Furiosa was such a treat for people who are interested in the lore of like, okay, there's basically three major settlements throughout the wasteland. It's the Citadel, it's the Bullet Farm, it's Gastown, and everything is kind of based around these three societies, and like. You kind of get a feel for that in Fury Road, but not as clear of a glimpse. I don't know. I thought it was really excellent in that regard. And one of the things that I think Fury Road does really well that people very rarely talk about is all the things that it shows you that it doesn't feel the need to explain. Like, there's that scene where they're driving through the swamps, like, late at night.
Mm-hmm.
And there's those, like, vulture guys on the stilts, and it's all, like, backlit in blue, and it's like, what the hell are those things? Mm-hmm. And they never explain it. They're just like, here, take a look at all this weird shit. Furiosa does a lot of that too. Like, I love at the end when she gets hauled into the like the old woman's cave where she's just like taking maggots off of corpses and shit like that. I thought that was really, really awesome.
Yeah, that was
like, kind of just stuff like that throughout the movie.
And yeah, I agree. Like, I one thing I picked up on it, it felt like a really nice blend and cocktail of a lot of different genres. Like, it would literally switch gear, like, pardon the pun, into you know, horror with stuff like that, like her being in the pit and some of the violence. You know, even when you see her arm like ripped off and it's like hanging there, like that looks like a horror movie shot. But then there's comedy. There's like this little lizard that's like, you see that for a couple of seconds, and then all the bikers like run it over, and you hear like the audible squish. So that's funny. And some of these characters are really goofy and weird, like Piss Boy and stuff like that. And so there's, you know, and all the action stuff, of course. But it's just crazy how many different modes it can go and kind of weave in and out of at will when it needs to.
Okay, awesome. I don't know, guys. What do you think? What else do we want to talk about regarding Furiosa? So we've got about, we're about 35 minutes in.
So I did have 2 points that I wanted to bring up. One that I thought was a complaint, and then sort of in the context of the full movie, I actually liked more. Okay. But when it first happened, I was like, what? I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
So the one actual complaint I have about the movie is compared to Fury Road, like Fury Road is so insane because, yes, they used some like digital effects to do stuff. But by and large, it's literally just like stuntmen going balls to the wall, right?
Yeah.
But like, guys on poles, jumping onto trucks, jumping off of trucks.
Yeah.
And it's just insane and wild. And there were elements of that in this, but I felt like there were a few things where it was like, that's a CG car. Like, it doesn't quite look right. There's just something about it that tells me that this isn't real.
Yeah, okay.
And so with that, then, like, one of my favorite scenes from Fury Road is fairly early on in the movie. They're driving and they're getting into that, like, sandstorm, and, like, war boys are getting, like, ripped off of the war rig to get sucked into the tornado, and, like, fuel tanks are exploding with them. And then, you know, Nux screams, "What a day, what a lovely day." And I think that scene is just beautiful. And yes, it's CG. But I think it's just so well done. And to me, that made the CG in this movie just like, it never soars to that height. And so it's used for things that are like a little more mundane. But one thing that I noticed that they did, and at first I didn't like this, but like there's one sequence when Dementis is trying to take over Gastown. And to do that, they capture a war rig and its convoy, and you like, you don't, Dementis doesn't even take charge of that. He's just like standing on a hill watching it happen. And you don't like, so you just see it like off in the distance happening. And it felt to me that they put it into like 1.25 or 1.5 time, like they actually sped up the sequence in the film. And I didn't like that at first, and they did that later with the scene where Furiosa's hanging by her wounded arm and they're dragging the other Praetorian around to kill him. And they sped it up. And what I think the point of that, at least to me, was that kind of like with the ending, the action scenes didn't matter because it is about the it is about the character of Furiosa and Dementis. And it kind of goes to that line that he tells her is like, you know, do you have it in you to make it epic? Like, did we need to see another war rig fight where it wasn't the guys on the gyrocopters and the balloons and parachutes? No, because it wasn't going to be as good. Like, we already got that. We got like the really good action sequence. Do we need another sort of like, oh, I mean, to go to Fury Road, is it good or is it mediocre?
Mediocre. Yeah, I understand that. I do respect Miller as a filmmaker for being able to make that distinction and say, like, if listen, I already made that movie. It's like the Gideon, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's like the Don Matrick line about the Xbox One. It's like we have a product for you. It's called the Xbox 360, right? It's like he's like, if you want all the action, we have a product for you. It's called Mad Max Fury Road. This is my new thing. Or, you know, it's like, you know who really worships George Miller is Hideo Kojima. It's like, people always bitch for the longest time. It was like, why can't I have another Metal Gear Solid game where I play a Snake? Because 2 is mostly Raiden, 3 is Big Boss, and that's different. And then 4, I'm playing as this old dude. And I think if you asked him, he would say, like, I already made that game. That game is called Metal Gear Solid. Like, go play it. It still exists. You know, tough shit. I'm doing new stuff. And even in later games, if you want to role play as Solid Snake and put on the old school sneaking suit, like in Metal Gear Solid 5, you can put on the bandana in the sneaking suit, but the sneaking suit has a giant dick drawn on the back of it, as if to say, like, I'll let you do this, but you're gonna look at this dick the entire time because, like,
what the fuck?
Because I already made that game, and you're living in the past, buddy.
Damn.
Like, I do kind of respect that. It's almost, like, very Dylan-esque as an artist. So, I think I could be convinced on that point, Neil.
I think that's a good thing to bring up with the CGI stuff. I feel like it is very noticeable. It doesn't necessarily get as bad as some of the recent Marvel stuff, where it's so painful and just strange to look at. But with, like, what I was talking about with the genres earlier, it also, like, leans, I feel like, very hard into camp a lot. And there's times and certain shots, and just, like, looking at Anya Taylor-Joy in certain scenes, and it looks like an episode of, like, Lazy Town that was, like, never supposed to air. Or it's just like goofy, like Spy Kids energy and shit like that. So it's just very strange, but I feel like it still works for the mm-hmm. world and the setting and everything, even if it is a bit glaring and hard to ignore at times. Mm-hmm. Where like that scene Neil was talking about with the storm, it does feel like it almost heightens it, or like you're not really noticing the CGI. It just looks beautiful.
You know, for me personally, I had heard that complaint going into the movie that there are some scenes where, like, it's very clearly CGI, and the Fury Road really wasn't like that. And I gotta admit, I wasn't particularly looking for it, but nothing really stood out to me in the same way that it stood out to you guys. I just didn't, you know, maybe my eyes suck, or I'm just, like, not good at spotting that stuff, but I thought the using the digital effect of making the child actress look more and more like Anya Taylor-Joy was very effective. I mean, you could tell that there was, like, maybe a little something going on, but I don't know. I was pretty convinced by it and still pretty impressed by it. But yeah. Then again, I thought Tarkin looked good in Rogue One. Some people mm-hmm. Some people say he looks better in the Clone Wars animated movie. So maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
To be completely clear, like, I don't think that it is, like, it's not a major issue to me. And a lot of times it was, like, mm-hmm. it was more like me questioning, why are you using CG for this shot?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not a car person, so I don't know, like, what the limitations of this car would be, but I feel like you could probably just do it, and I don't know why you're using CG here.
Yeah. The only other thing I could think of is, like, him literally being so old and still directing this crazy ass movie, presumably still at least parts of it in the desert, I would guess.
Yeah.
So maybe just to be like, you know, I don't want to suffer so bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody that worked on Fury Road said it was a nightmare. Like, the cast, like Charlize Theron and Tom Hardy, were like, we're not doing this again. Like,
mm-hmm.
No, we're not going to be in the Australian desert for months at a time trying to make this shit happen. Well, yeah. George Miller is just fucking insane out of his mind. We'll be out there as long as you want him to. I don't know. It's very funny. All right. What did we, any other dire points we want to bring up before we start to wrap things up?
I have a few small things about one of the war rig fights. I love that, like, man of war, what was it, balloon or whatever it was. That just
the Octoboss.
Octoboss. Okay, that was sick. Just like seeing that and the way it looked with the weather and everything going on, and then that getting tangled up in the war rig was just super cool. And I don't really know who this person is, but that one guy who like was viral on social media because people are like making fun of him, and he has like a cameo in this movie. He has like a bigger head. He's like one of the war boys that like
was
supposed to activate the Whirligig death machine thing. When he got killed, the elder couple like laughed super loud, and that was like the best moment of the watch.
That's awesome.
That was the best moment of the viewing experience for me. It's so funny.
That is funny. Oh, God, that scene was so awesome. When those dudes took off and those things started flying into the air, I was like,
yeah,
I almost like couldn't handle how much like Mad Max was getting pumped into my veins.
And I did love, I know I'm seeing a lot of praises, but I do need to rewatch it. I feel like it did feel like you just got thrown onto like a motorcycle and they're just going so fast, but you're just like strapped in for the ride. And it's all happening very fast. And I loved all the shots that sometimes it almost felt like a video game where it almost was like over the shoulder, like Resident Evil 4 or something. Mm-hmm. And it had a lot of very horror-esque moments, which I feel like really brought you into the world even more, especially with the audio mix. And I guess one last thing I'll shout out is I loved when Dementus and his biker gangs like show up and they're all like revving the fucking bikes and they just keep doing it. That was so funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got one more question for you guys before we get to rankings and stuff. So, in a hypothetical future where, you know, you've got your, you know, 16-year-old son, and, you know, it's like, okay, so I want to show him Fury Road.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have them watch Furiosa as well? And if so, do you watch them in release order or chronological order?
No, release. It's got to be release order because,
yeah,
I feel like there are so many moments in this that are throwbacks specifically to, like, you've already seen Fury Road. Or, like, when they show the guitar guy.
Yeah.
Like, right, like, before they talk about, like, the 40-year or the 40-day war or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's like, that moment only makes sense if you've seen Fury Road, and then this whole movie you spend it being like, okay, where's that weird guitar guy? I mean, there's a million other things, but just, you know, it's like Star Wars or Metal Gear or anything. It's like, you kind of got to, I think release order is pretty much always best.
Yeah, I do agree. But it is such a good, like, double feature now going from Furiosa into Fury Road. But yeah, you would get and have more context. It's ironic. You get more context from both movies, but yeah, I would agree. Start with Fury Road and then go into Furiosa, and then you can rewatch them in the opposite order with different context.
See, I think I might go in chronological order.
Hmm. Okay.
I think it works as a prequel.
I think it does one of my favorite things that a good prequel does is it makes the original, in this case Fury Road, it makes it better, like, or Red Dead 2 makes the original Red Dead better, because you get so much context for just before everything went down.
I would agree with that. I think absolutely Furiosa makes Fury Road better, absolutely. Something I definitely don't want to leave unmentioned, dude, the way Dementus is actually like left to die in this movie, excellent. You guys want to talk about with the tree at the end where he's like,
oh,
he's
yeah,
the seed of the tree.
Jesus Christ. I was going to ask about that. She talked about almost like three different endings for him, right?
Right.
So do you think that is what happened?
Yeah, we saw her sure. Like, I think she's saying, like, I could have done this, or I could have done this, or I could have ended this way,
but I chose
this way because this is the most fucked up way.
That was so fucked up. That was gnarly. Really.
Yeah. No, he's even smiling because he gets the poetic justice, and she did make it epic.
She certainly did make it epic. I mean, that was an epic way to go out for sure. Okay, scores, gentlemen.
You want to go first?
I would give this movie, like, if we were doing half points, this would be a 4.5. But if we're not doing half points, I have to give it a 4. Because I still think it's weaker than Fury Road, but just by that much. If they were movies in different franchises, I could see giving both of them fives. But because this is so heavily connected to Fury Road and it invites that comparison by being a prequel, I gotta go 4. That being said, I still saw it in the theater and it was loud as shit, and I had popcorn. It was an amazing theater going experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the strongest possible 4 for me. Like, it doesn't quite cross over into that perfect movie that Fury Road is, but it's it. You know what? Screw it. I'm gonna give it a 5.
Damn! Wow!
I'm gonna give it a 5.
That's awesome, dude.
Okay, awesome.
Damn. Yeah. I mean, my thoughts are with Sam on a lot of what you said. Initially, I think I gave it a 4.5. It almost feels like a 4. It's still super strong 4. I'm going to leave it at a 4 since we're not doing the half stars, but the strongest 4 I can give it. It does get a bit exhausting, but that's, it's, you know, kind of like what you said, you know, what would you cut? And I, for one, it's kind of nice when you do get a longer movie, you know, almost 3 hours, 2.5 hours, but it's of something that's a really cool universe. The director knows what they're doing. Like, everyone's just really giving their all, and it's just a total crazy movie spectacle. And I mean, like, for why, I don't fully get why it would be bombing. It's like, what do you guys want? Like, if you're an action fan too, like, this is serious action and just craziness. And totally full of unique things going on and a unique style. And, you know, it's, you really can't compare it to much else.
Right.
So I don't know. I've been recommending it to a ton of people to see it in theaters while they can. And I'm curious to see how it'll be received for years to come.
Yeah, awesome. Well, guys, thanks for joining me. Anybody got any fun plans after this? I'm probably going to go try to get that Arcana back.
There you go. I forgot to mention, but I've also I got for super cheap with my rewards points for like $5 on Xbox. I got the Mad Max game because I played it and beat it on PS4, but it's locked at 30 frames. On Xbox, it can go up to 120.
Oh, nice.
So I've been playing that a little bit before I saw Fury Road or Furiosa, and now it's even better after seeing it. So.
Yeah, awesome.
Wait, Sam, I'm pretty sure that when we went to go get Metal Gear Solid 5 at Walmart for the at midnight.
Yep.
There was another guy there, and we're like, well, he's not getting Metal Gear Solid 5. And I'm pretty sure, like, what did he get? Because I remember
he was getting the Mad Max game. Yep.
That's what he got. I thought we might have thought that he was going to do that, but then he didn't. But if you said that it was, then
no, it was, because I remember they were coming. They came out on the same day, and I remember like asking him, and he was like, "No, I'm here for Mad Max." I was like, "Okay, you're lost, dude." We were all like vibrating with such intensity for that point.
Yeah, we Mad Max the game unfortunately got stomped by another Gear Solid 5 on that day.
Neil and I were living together in college at that time, and every night the week leading up to the launch of the Phantom Pain, we played through Ground Zeroes like every night.
Ooh, nice.
It was sick.
That is sick. Yeah. Last thing I want to say about Mad Max before we totally close, or Furiosa, But it is a damn good year for really epic movies and deserts. Like, Dune 2 was fucking incredible. This really blew me away. I guess one of the things, I felt like the trailers almost, like, betrayed it. Because I thought it was just looking really cheesy and weird. I didn't even know it was by George Miller still when I first saw the trailers. Okay. And I was getting extreme Spy Kids vibes from the trailers. Okay. So that's also why I was like expecting almost like a 3.5 or something. But yeah, I'm happy I was so, you know, off base on this.
So wrong. Okay.
Yeah, cool. It was awesome.
Well, next week we will finally do Event Horizon and we'll move on. Nobody go see anything in the theater for the next week and we'll get around to doing Event Horizon.
Hell yeah.
But we're not all going to go see Garfield?
Ooh.
Yeah. Double feature.
Oh my God. Yeah, Garfield. What was the other one in the theaters this weekend that was bombing because it was Memorial Day?
I don't know.
Oh, I did pre-order The Boy and the Heron on Blu-ray. Nice. And it's not going to be out until like the end of July, but I did get that ordered, so that'll be maybe fun to do once it's available. Oh, If, that Ryan Gosling movie that looked really
good. Oh, yeah. Looks like a Netflix original. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Okay, well, I'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Peace out, guys.
Later.